As I said earlier, we're beginning a new series that will actually take us all the way in through October, and we're going to be looking at the kingdom of God in the Gospel of Matthew. So we're going to be looking at some parables of Jesus, we're going to be looking at some teachings of Jesus, we're going to be looking at what the kingdom of God means to us, our place in the kingdom of God, what our role in the kingdom of God is, and what the kingdom of God means for the world around us. So this morning our theme is the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. So if you picked up a blue Bible on your way in, I am in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. I'm on page 785. Page 785, Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. What's happened is John the Baptist has come before Jesus to announce the kingdom of God, to get people ready for Jesus. And then John has sort of run afoul of King Herod because he spoke the truth to the king, and he finds himself in prison. And so that's where we pick up this morning in verse 12 of chapter 4. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The kingdom of heaven has come near. You know, for those of us, if you're like me, you grew up in the church. Maybe you didn't grow up in the church. That might be an advantage or a disadvantage. I don't know. But I grew up in the church, and so I've always known that the kingdom of heaven was near to me. I've always known that God came near to me. I mean, I'm 52 years old, so that means I've celebrated Christmas at least 51 times. That Jesus came to be with us. And I think as Christians, we can sometimes take for granted that powerful truth, that God comes near to us. But it's not like that in the rest of the world. Jeanette and I have been blessed to be around the world in various places. We got a chance to live in Africa for a couple of years, and the people there believed that their job in life was to make the gods happy. And so they poured drink offerings and sacrificed chickens and did all kinds of things because they were certain that their life was about trying to get close to God. We've had the opportunity over the last couple of years to spend some time in Southeast Asia. And we've gotten to be around people who are Buddhist. And if you ask the Buddhist in Bangkok or Phnom Penh what it's like to be a Buddhist, they would tell you this: it is a constant treadmill of trying to do enough good things so that good things will come back to me, so that finally I could become a good enough person that I might get a chance to go to nirvana, to be enlightened like the Buddha. But if you really got to talk to them, each and every one of them would tell you, "We know we have no chance. We know we have no chance to get there, so all we want to do is try to make our lives as good as we can right now." And so their whole life is based on how to figure out a way to get close to God. The Nation of Islam has five tenets that if you are a good Muslim, you have to follow. And if you do those tenets well enough, those pillars well enough, then you can get to be with Allah in paradise. Their whole lives are spent trying to figure out a way to get close enough to God. You don't have to go to Africa or Southeast Asia or the Middle East to have people who believe that their life is a test run to get close to God. Many of the people we run into every day, many of the people that you know and work with, you yourself may struggle with this, I know I do, are hardwired to believe that somehow we have to perform so that God will like us. But the reality is, Jesus comes to the people of Israel, to you and me, to all of us, this world this morning, and says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. God has come to us. He is not waiting on his throne for you to get your act together so that you can get close to him. He has come near. Now, I know that you're probably saying, Kevin, we've heard you say that so many times. Can we move on to something different? But here's the thing. I know it to be true about myself that I take for granted that uniquely Christian idea that God comes to us. God comes to us. And so Jesus came. And we get to see him at the very beginning of his earthly ministry. He's just been baptized in the River Jordan, and now he begins. He begins. But Matthew records that he left faithful Israel. He left the place that the boundaries of the people of Israel are, and he went outside of that to what is called the Galilee of the Gentiles, to Naphtali and Zebulun. And he quotes Isaiah. Matthew quotes Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. He says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. God has come near. He has come into our darkness to bring light. I've spent most of the week trying to think of a way to describe what this darkness is. And the only thing I could come up with was to explain to you what darkness is in my life. Here's what darkness is. It's rolling over and looking at my clock, and it says 3:18. And lying there awake, worried about my life. And I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I have a great life. But I lie there and I'm awake and I think about my kids. And I worry about them. And I think about you. And I worry about you. And I worry about health issues. And I worry about money issues. And I worry about the future of our church. And I worry about the pressures and things of my life. And it is a dark, dark place. And it is to that dark place that Jesus comes. He comes and he reminds me that I belong to him, that I am in the palm of his hand, that my future is secure. It may not be perfect, but it is secure. I am his, and nothing can change that. You see, for most people in the world, when they find themselves in darkness, whether they live on my street or they live in Asia, they think, how do I get out of this darkness? How do I do that? But here's the beauty of our faith and our God. He comes to us. And he brings light to our darkness. I think for many people in the world, they think if they are in a dark place, That must mean God doesn't care, or God isn't with them, or God's not going to come, because they don't have it together. But Matthew says that in Jesus, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. The people living in darkness have seen a light. And then he goes on powerfully, beautifully, poetically to describe our lives, which are not very beautiful or poetic. He says, on the people living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Here's what Jesus has come to do. He has come to you and me in the darkness of our lives. I know that many of you have laid to rest somebody very, very dear to you, and recently the wound is still fresh. The scar has not healed. It is a pain that you live with every day. And it casts a shadow over us. We live in this sort of twilight of fear and wondering and uncertainty. Because we know that no matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, we cannot turn back death. And so Jesus comes and he says to those of you who are living in the land of the shadow of death, which is all of us, I have a light. Let me dispel the shadow. And this is how he does it. He goes to a cross, and he takes all the deaths that have broken your heart. And he takes all the deaths that you fear right now. And he dies for them. But death is not the last word. You see, the grave could not hold him. He has defeated that enemy, which is death. He has defeated death. And so I know, I know it doesn't sound like enough, but it is. Because the greatest thing we fear is beaten. There is a light in the shadow of our lives. The kingdom of heaven has come near. We cannot take that for granted, because we now live our lives not to get to God, but because God has already taken hold of us. Jesus goes on, or Matthew goes on and tells us what Jesus is going to do now. He says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." I need to talk for a moment about this message that Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." All throughout the Bible, the word repent simply means to turn around, change direction. And so what Jesus is saying, and what John said before him, is that the direction we're headed, the direction of self-sufficiency or control believing it doesn't matter, all of those directions are the wrong direction. And so Jesus simply comes in and says, I know you live in darkness. I know there's a shadow of your life. Change. Change direction. Don't go after what you think is going to make you happy, what you think is going to sustain your life, what you think is going to give you security. Turn around. Because the kingdom of heaven has come near. I am right here. But it's an interesting thing. It's a powerful thing. Jesus has come near before he says, repent. He's walking among these people. They're not Jewish. They're Gentiles. They're not the chosen people of God. They're not the ones that God has taken from the time of Abraham and brought all the way down to Jesus. These are Gentiles. They're outsiders. And Jesus is there among them, has come near to them. They haven't gotten their lives together. They haven't gotten it all put together. They aren't standing on their own two feet. They're struggling. They're hurting. They're in darkness. There's a shadow. But Jesus draws near anyway. And he says, turn around. I'm right here. I'm right here. The kingdom of heaven has come near. You see, that's our place in the kingdom. That we belong, that Jesus has redeemed us, we are washed in his blood, we have a place prepared for us in heaven, that's our place. But we also have a role in the kingdom. We also have a responsibility. And that role is to take that light of Jesus, which has changed our lives, and make it known to people who are in darkness. To people who live in the fear of the shadow of death. To people who have doubts and worries and struggles, who are hurting and broken and bent and bruised. But here's the key, and it's not an easy key for us. We're not supposed to tell them, hey, if you'll repent, we'll come near. We're supposed to draw near. The kingdom of heaven is near. It's in us. It's all around us. And God is calling us to bring that light into the lives of people who don't know it. Not waiting until they make the right decisions. Not waiting until they get their lives perfectly put together. But instead to step in with the kingdom of God and bring it near. Bring it near to people who are hurting and broken. I have to go to one more place in the Bible because I want you to understand how near Jesus has come to us. So I need to go to the New Testament book of Galatians. I'm on page 944. This is Paul's letter to the church in the cities around Galatia. And they are people who have come to know who Jesus is, but they have always struggled with saying, yes, we know Jesus died on the cross, we know our sins are forgiven, but we must have to do something. I mean, don't we at least have to avoid these things, or shouldn't we at least have to do this? And so they want to say, yes, it's Jesus, but it's Jesus plus something. And so Paul is writing to them to say, no, it's Jesus. He's enough. It's enough. It's done. And here's what he says in Galatians chapter 4, at the bottom of page 944. He says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. How close, how near has God come? You see, Paul says that when God had orchestrated history to be just right, he sent Jesus. But I want you to think about this for just a moment. Jesus was there at creation. When God said, let there be light, he spoke the word. Well, Jesus is called the word. In John chapter 1, it says, the word was with God. That's Jesus. So when God said, let there be light, there was light. That was Jesus. When he said, let there be stars, let there be animals, let the earth bring forth fruit, when all of that happened, that was Jesus. The creator of the universe is Jesus. But when the time was right, God sent him near, and this is how near. He was born of a woman. Jesus was a screaming, wet, bloody, helpless human being. Just like you and me. That's how near. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, yes, he sent him to be born of a woman, but he also says he was born under the law. Here's what that means. It means Jesus did everything the Jewish law required of him. The Gospels tell us that his parents took him up to the temple on the eighth day to have him circumcised and to name him. He went to the Passover. He celebrated the feasts. He did the Sabbath. He did all the prayers. He was here, and he lived the life that we live. He lived under the law. And here's why. That's how close he was to us, how near. And here's why. To redeem those who were under the law. He became one of us so that we could become his. That is how near the kingdom of heaven has come. It has come near enough that in the broken, dark, shadowy places of your lives, Jesus is there. One of the things about raising three boys was that we could almost uncannily tell when they had done something wrong. And it was because they would avoid us. They would spend more time in their room, or you'd come in and say, "Hey, how was your day?" And they'd kind of say something and duck out the other side of the room. At dinner, they wanted to change the subject to something else. Now, I don't know what kids believe about their parents that were not that bright, but it was pretty obvious. They didn't want to talk about it, because they knew they had done something wrong, and they knew they were going to get in trouble, and they knew that it wasn't going to be pleasant. And so they did what all of us do. They try to hide it. They try to hide it. They try to change the subject. We all do it, and we do it with God. But if you take almost nothing out of this message, take this. You cannot hide anything from a God who is so near. He knows the stuff of your life. He knows the darkness. He knows the shadows. He knows the things that you're ashamed of. And we spend so much energy and so much time trying to change the subject, trying to avoid God, trying to be away from him, but we can't. So here's what I would recommend. For all the broken stuff of your life, for all the things you and I are ashamed of, let's not hide them. Let's instead take them to the Father in our prayers and in confession and say, "Father, here's what I've done. Here's what I've done. I've failed. I've broken. I am broken. I'm bruised. I do bruise. I am. This is my stuff." And you know the beauty of how near God is to us? Is when I come to him and say, "Hey, here's what I've done," this is what he responds. "Well, let me tell you what I've done. I've paid for all those sins. All the things you keep in secret, I've already paid for. Jesus has died. You are forgiven. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to make sure. Don't try to keep it away from me. Instead, bring it to me, because I have a light for your darkness. I have a light for the shadow under which you live, and I have come near to you." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise today for the grace that we have in Jesus, for the hope, the light that we have in our darkness, and for the death and resurrection of our Savior. Help us to live as people in a kingdom that has come near to us and to the world around us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.